With the view from her Jerusalem window, here's Andrea Simontov.
So how is my favorite Israeli safta?
This is great. I just love that music. You have to send me the CD so I can hear the whole thing. I don't even know where you found that.
Yeah, I do. Accepting. My problem is I now know what you look like, you see, because I stalked you on social media. And
right.
That music, it just doesn't fit. Just does not fit. You are not the lady flowing garments on the back of a camel. And we've got to find something more upbeat and happening, I think.
I'll find the music for you.
You do that. You do that and send us a, you do your own intro. That'll be marvelous. I look forward to that. Andrea, Jerusalem's a happening place. What's going on?
Well, you already got the note about what I'm not going to talk about today.
I thought that was beautifully elegant sidestepping, and I'm of course going to bring you straight back to it, but I'm just throwing it out there. You start. I'll guide.
I know. So anyway, what I really wanted to talk about today is, because I like to keep things, you know, calendar friendly.
Yeah.
And there is so much. You said out the window. So I'm looking out the back window, not the front window.
Okay.
So the front window, we already know. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the back window, I'm thinking about all the incredible cultural happenings in Jerusalem. And I'm thinking, because, you know, you guys, another punishment for living in Galut, okay, in the diaspora, you have a 3-day yantif, yuck. But the coming, I mean, we have a beautiful Chag coming up, and it's just, I'm telling you, it's something about Jerusalem between May and September. It's just like one big party. It's comedy, comedy clubs and expos, art fairs, ballet and opera in the park. It's really a lot of fun. And just this week, I have to share with you, I was invited as a guest to the giving out of honorary doctorates. I was friends with one of the recipients at Bar-Ilan University. I'm embarrassed to tell you, I had never been to Bar-Ilan.
I'm surprised at that.
Science.
I'm surprised.
You went to Bar-Ilan?
No, I didn't, but I lived in Givat Haim, which is not very far away, so I went past it many,
I mean,
many
first,
times.
It was fun. You know, my husband and I were like two geezers, and like we were out all night at these eateries that are open. I mean, Jerusalem still, even with all the events that are going on, I mean, it's sort of like Johannesburg, like out by eight.
Okay.
Nothing's open.
Okay, makes sense.
And it was fun, and the caps and the gowns and the science and the art and the politics. I mean, really, nothing to hang our head. This is no pundak. We might be the size of Jersey, but what's going on here is the entire world. And it's a lot of fun. It's a good season. I went to a comedy show this week. Also, fundraising comedy. This guy, Avi Lieberman, brings over comedians from the States. First year was very difficult. Nobody wanted to come. Now he has a list of top drawer, you know, the Tonight Show, the Conan O'Brien Show, Comedy Central, all dying to come to Israel for a fundraiser for children who are the victims who have lived through terror. So there's so much, you know, we make fun out of horror here. And that's it.
No, that's really interesting. I've got to tell you something. The South African WITSO organization was very much involved in a charity drive yesterday, and they raised an inordinate amount of money to be used for traumatized Israeli kids who live in the Gaza envelope or the south of Israel.
Unbelievable. So. It's fantastic, because these kids, we don't even know. These kids, they're going to grow up. They're going to be soldiers. They're going to be parents. And the repercussions, I mean, they could do all kinds of sociological experiments here. What real post-traumatic stress syndrome looks like under the umbrella of normal. So that's, I mean, kol hakavod to South Africa. Well, you know what I think about your Jewish community.
I
just think it's top drawer.
I'm going to get personal for a second again, just because with you, I do.
Duh.
So I was in Israel for the Gulf War. I think I might have mentioned this before. And mm-hmm. we used to rush off to the Cheder Atum, the sealed rooms when the silence went. And you don't realize that anything is wrong at the time. You just take it as normal. That is your routine. And then I came back to South Africa possibly a year afterwards, and a motorbike very close to me sped off. And the noise of that motorbike was exactly the same sound as the azaka that used to go off. That would be the signal that we needed to run to the room. And my stomach just lurched and turned, and I felt nauseous and sick. And that as an adult, where you knew, I mean, just how many more times traumatic for a child? And that's what keeps on going on in my mind is, How much
woods? Simon, this is so, it is so appropriate. I was in South Africa, and I was in the States, and I came back, Dafka. You know, I deliberately, I have to be, it's like my religion, my secondary religion, that I have to be in Israel for Yom HaShoah, Yom HaZikaron, Memorial Day, and then Yom HaTzma'ut, the Independence Day. And I was had a lot of jet lag. And when the sirens went off for the 60 seconds of silence, I found myself running toward the bomb shelter.
Wow. Wow, I couldn't.
And I found out because I was like mixed up. I was confused and I heard the siren and I just kicked into automatic. And I found out that it is, the irony was they had taped footage of children in Sderot who the same thing, the sirens went off and the kids started running until somebody grabbed their arms and said, stand still. Yeah. So it does affect us. It gets in the skin and then you go watch TV. Well, you go out to dinner.
Yeah. It does.
There's something a little twisted about that blending, that melding of the abnormal and the normal. But I don't know where it's normal anymore. Do you? Where is it normal? What even constitutes normal? Which brings us to the subject.
Okay, good for you. You're broaching it. Good. I'm going to sit back and listen. I mean, you're not going to get more controversial than this. Go for it.
Yeah. So right now, I'm looking now, it is almost 6 o'clock, so I haven't been following the news. I haven't been following the news because that would like denote having to learn something. So right now, at this time, taking place is the annual gay parade in Jerusalem. Now we know they have it in Tel Aviv, and it's a big festival, very garish, very, you know, really reminiscent of Rio, and it gets kind of raunchy down in Tel Aviv. So I know that the jury will be out, I'll hear all the news tonight. But now for the last several years, at least since 2005, they have a gay parade in Jerusalem, which comes with it a lot of emotional baggage, a lot of moral baggage, a lot of screaming from both sides. Absolutely. And the security is so insane that people who can protect the Pope and can protect Donald Trump when he gets here, nobody can get to the parade because...
No,
so
but,
there may be a message from the police in that, like you can't get to the parade because nobody can walk through.
But there was good reason for that, wasn't there?
Terrible violence.
Yeah, I mean, there has been in the past. When was it? 2 years ago that,
2015. You're getting old, Simon.
Yeah, was it 2015 already? Okay, that long ago.
Yeah. It was, and it was the same guy, the same Einstein, the same one who did the stabbing in 2005, the first year. Whatever happened, they let him out. He wasn't under surveillance and he stabbed, but he unfortunately succeeded in 2015, killing a young high school girl who went with friends to see the parade. So a lot of controversy about it and a lot of mixed feelings.
Understandably. I mean, I totally get it that Israel is a modern democratic state, but, you know, whilst the march kind of makes sense in Tel Aviv, I'm not 110% sure it makes all that much sense in Jerusalem, but.
You know, I read both sides. I read both sides, and that makes me both Jewish and a Libra. And, you know, I hear both sides and I hear it all, and we just had ordained through the Pardes Institute the first Orthodox Jewish gay rabbi. And I read the story and I read his background and I read the defenses of the smicha, you know, and a lot to think about. And we're not supposed to, we can't desist. We know that we're commanded not to desist from process, not to give up, but a lot to think about and really to challenge. And look, we just had, I know we're going to get off the air soon, but just now, Prime Minister Netanyahu just appointed the first gay minister in the Knesset. So this is the first gay minister. And my answer was, we don't know that that's the first gay minister. He's the first outwardly gay, acknowledged minister.
Yeah.
And he's the justice minister. What is his name? Ohana.
Yes, Amir.
And he's a good guy. I mean, I know of him. And he's a fabulous guy. He's the real deal. And he's respected as an incredible jurist, Amir Ohana. So, you know, I pray, I hope that his being gay does not become his entire raison d'etre and that he puts his morality and his justice and his aleph bet in front of everything else because I'm just uncomfortable with all this you know, I'm old fashioned. I can't even watch television anymore. There's nothing left unsaid. Nothing is left undescribed. Everything is just so out there. And I don't think we've become a better people for it. I really don't.
So that is an amazingly interesting stance you've taken. I'm going to throw it out to our listeners. I want to hear from them. I want to know what you feel. Do you agree that it's just too much all out there? What is your take on what's going on in Jerusalem? But before we leave you today, just tell me about the Shavuotness of Jerusalem at the moment. Is dairy gone nuts? Is there cheesecakes in every store? What's the story?
You walk in the lobbies of the supermarkets where you get wagons. They throw these wagons into the supermarket and you're tripping over cheese. And it's very funny. You see all these people like with tattoos and piercings who really, you live in Israel, you live the Chagim, you live the holidays. When I was, you know, growing up in secular America, we never heard of Shavuos. I mean, and really? Here people bring flowers. They don't really know what it means per se, but you get this sense of standing shoulder to shoulder at the foot of Sinai in, ironically, with tolerance, the same beautiful tapestry, and tapestries have different colors and different textures, and you see it in Jerusalem, and I'm going away for Shavuos, going to family, and I have a lot of cooking to do tonight. And again, my personal view, and let any of the rabbis write in, I don't really think dairy was a big thing in Sinai.
Okay, no, I can't imagine that.
I would say that parv was probably easy, more keeping in the original Shavuos, where we didn't know the laws of kashrut yet. And you had the Yekim discussing it. You had the Galicianas fighting with the Litvaks and saying 3 hours, 6 hours. And someone said, the heck with it. Let's keep it parv. And open up a shear.
I'm with you. So, I learned something about you. I didn't know you were a cook. I thought you sort of said you weren't granny of the century, that your daughters were, you know, not going to give you the prize for the biggest maternal cooker. And good for you. You're cooking.
Yeah, not true. No, we cook. We take our food seriously. And of my six children, I would say that five are superior cooks, and the one who isn't can write me a poison pen letter. But, we take our cooking seriously, our eating seriously. And to me, if it's not great, don't cook it. If it's not great, don't eat it. Yeah.
Andrei Simantov, Shabbat Shalom, Chag Sameach. You're the highlight of my week. Thank you for talking to us.
Bye-bye, darling. Really, Chag Sameach to everybody and Shabbat Shalom.